That's right. We're right here this afternoon. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. The sun is shining out there. Hallelujah, folks. The sun is shining. Looks like we're going to have a nice day tomorrow, too, and the weekend. So get out there and soak up some vitamin D and enjoy this weather while we have it. We have a great guest here this afternoon. It is Ann Allen. She is Director of Clinical Education at Piedmont Tech, and she works in the respiratory care part of the clinical education. So we're going to be talking to her. Maybe you'll find a career that you hadn't thought about, and who knows what we'll find out. But we are going to be talking today with Ann Allen. Ann, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Absolutely. You are from this area. You went to Cambridge, but you went to Cambridge by, I didn't know, Long Cane Academy was actually part of Cambridge before they split off.
That's right. Cambridge started a branch in McCormick, grades first grade or K-5 through fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, you had to come to Greenwood to go to Cambridge. So I started in the fourth grade in McCormick, and then years after I graduated, so I'm not exactly sure what year, then that became Long Cane Academy.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Always interesting things you get, tidbits of information you can learn. And when you were growing up, what did you think you wanted to be?
I thought I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Okay. So. You must have been impressed by something that made you want to become a marine biologist.
I always loved the shows with Jacques Cousteau, loved the dolphins and whales. Just thought that was just going to be the wave of the future, something I wanted to do.
The wave of the future. Okay. Well, so you started going to school for that?
I did. I went to College Charleston and majored in biology and started out in several of the different biology labs and anatomy and physiology labs. And some of these sea creatures that you have to go through, the sea cucumbers and these jumbo shrimp that were about 10 inches long, were a little daunting. And I was like, maybe this isn't for me. And then to continue a career in biology, you had to consider what would you actually do, either
right.
research or teach. And I didn't think I wanted to do either one of those at that time.
So what did you do?
I came back home to Greenwood and went to Lander and just kind of took some classes at Lander and then had to make a choice. My parents were fabulous, but they informed me that they were paying for 4 years of college, no more. So
many years was that now that
well,
you were
that
into?
Was into the third year, so I had to make a quick decision. So, yep.
You know, so what did you do?
Well, I went to Piedmont Technical College and talked to some advisors there and said I knew I wanted to work in something in health. And at that point in time, I'm not sure if they told me what other programs are there, but I do remember the radiology program was 2 years and respiratory was 1 year then. So I said, that's exactly what I want to do.
Isn't it amazing how money can help us make a decision?
It certainly can when we're young and someone else is paying for our rent and our college. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So and how do you feel that you made that choice today?
Well, I think I had finally decided the right track, something in healthcare. And I wasn't quite sure exactly what respiratory was going to be and had thought about nursing. And Lander Nursing Program was actually full, so that was one reason that kind of put me in the right direction of respiratory even more.
And that probably would have been longer than another year of college.
It probably would have been. my mom was a nurse, so I probably could have talked her into it. So,
yeah.
But it was a fabulous experience at Piedmont Tech even back then. Yeah.
So you're glad that you were kind of forced to make a decision by your parents?
I am now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would admit it then, and I'm not sure if I've ever told them that, but yes.
Right here on the radio, yes, we're discussing it. That's good.
My parents were right. I'm old enough to be able to say that now.
And now that you have children, you hope someday they will tell you that you are right.
I hope someday. Yes, I live long enough to hear that.
All right. Well, so you went out to, you got a degree in respiratory.
Yes,
care,
mm-hmm.
And then you started working. In fact, I understand you still work at Self Regional.
I do. I started working as a student. I was already working at Bailey Memorial Hospital in Clinton, which does not exist anymore, and then started working at Self Regional. Probably about 4 or 5 years into my career as respiratory therapist, I went back to school at Lander in their BSN program. And again, just thinking that's probably what I had wanted to do. And a couple of semesters in, it was a great experience, but I realized that I really liked being a specialist in one area. Nurses are kind of like the quarterback of the team. They have to know a little bit about everything to coordinate it, but I like being a specialist better.
You know, when we were talking before we came on the air, you said that quite often the respiratory therapist is the person that the nurses call before they even call the doctor when somebody's in trouble in the hospital.
That's right. If you're having trouble breathing or if you're having any kind of cardiac problems, any kind of heart problems, that's going to affect your breathing. And so the staff is calling the physician, but while they're calling them, they want somebody there to actually go ahead and start fixing the problem. So a lot of times we're the first person that they call, and then they get us there, and then they start calling the physician. So we have a lot of advanced training to be able to take care of those patients. The advanced cardiac life support training that we're actually given, our students get that training while they're in the program.
So that's a big advantage, just right there, to be able to know that you actually could be helping save a life.
Yes.
While other people are getting in place to be able to look at things, or at least stabilize a person.
Right.
Till somebody else can get there.
That's correct. And if you can't breathe, it doesn't matter what other functions are not working or working. You've got to be able to breathe. So your airway and breathing are some of your most important life functions. And as a respiratory therapist, that's what we take care of. So it's so exciting to be able to see the results of what you are able to do for your patients. And a lot of times we get immediate results. They will start breathing, or we can give them breathing treatments that immediately help them breathe better.
That's right. Having been through a bout with pneumonia and all this kind of stuff, and not being able to breathe, and having breathing treatments and all this kind of stuff, right, I can certainly empathize with the fact if someone can't breathe, you just can't do anything.
That's right.
I mean, you can have a lot of problems in your body and everything, but if you can't breathe, you are really S-O-L-I.
Right, hearing.
That's right. And you were also bringing up that it's not only the lungs that are affected by breathing. You were also saying the heart, and was it the kidneys?
Yeah, the heart and the kidneys can actually affect your breathing. If you're having kidney problems and are having kidney failure, then basically you're not getting the toxins and the fluids out of your body. And eventually that's going to back up. That's going to affect the heart, and that's going to affect the lungs. Or if you have heart problems, or a lot of people may have congestive heart failure, one of their biggest complaints is how short of breath they get anytime they do anything. And if the heart's not functioning properly, the fluid is backing up and building up in the lungs. So you can't breathe, can't catch a breath.
So this is a very necessary function, and to be able to do this for somebody and to, as you said, be able to get immediate results, because immediately you're going to know whether you're helping or not. On the breathing
that's
aspect
true,
of it.
And most of the time, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is a pretty phenomenal career. Now, Piedmont Tech offers this career out there, and how often do they have the career, and how long does it take to become a respiratory therapist?
We start a new class each spring, so we actually admit 22 students each spring, and they'll graduate the August of the next year. So it's 5 semesters in the respiratory classes.
Okay. And do you need any other classes to be able to get into this program?
Yes, our program is what we call a two-phase program. So you do have to complete the courses in the first phase. And a lot of those are any of them that you would need for an associate degree, a general psychology, a math, English. We have added a computer class because the medical field is so computerized now. And then we do need the anatomy, physiology, and microbiology.
There you go, talking about those science classes and everything.
Classes, yep.
What would make the perfect type of candidate to get into this program? What type of person, not perfect, but what would make the type of candidate that would be interested in this career?
Well, of course you have to be able to want to help people and have some good people skills. But I tell a lot of people, some of my most promising students from the time they come in are the ones that are coming from the field of basic waitresses and waiters, servers, mm-hmm, hairdressers, bartenders, because they have lived off tips. They know exactly how to interact with people. And so if you're not used to just walking into a stranger's room and having a conversation with them, sometimes that's the most intimidating aspect that our new students have. is actually walking into a person's room they've never met and introducing themselves, explaining what they're going to do. But if you're used to working with the public in a service industry, that's a talent you already have. So then we just build on that talent.
Wow. You know, you don't think about that, do you? The fact that you need to walk in. And in today's society, so many of our young people are so text-oriented that they have a hard time communicating. I would think that for a lot of young people that that's a problem in getting people to do what you just talked about.
Yeah. And that's why I like a mixture of ages in a class, because the younger people have more of the technology savvy and they're more comfortable with that. But they're not as comfortable with interacting with each other. The older population, and we have students in their 40s and 50s, and not that that's old, but that's our older population in my class, they have so much more experience working with the people and maybe don't have the technology experience. So you put those two together and they end up helping each other out. And it's really fun to watch a class of all ages kind of bond over the, 2-year time period.
You know, that's not the first time that I've heard that when I've interviewed somebody from Piedmont Tech, because Piedmont Tech does have a tendency to have the younger and the older student, the student coming back for a different career or changing it up. So that's a big advantage, and I've heard this several times.
It is. Yeah, we consider ourselves very non-traditional classes in that when I talk about that, I talk about the mixture. It's not just the early 20-year-olds in a college class. You have the early 20-year-olds, the 30s, 40s, 50-year-olds. So they bring all different kinds of life experiences and help each other out. It's amazing how much they help each other out.
And you don't really have to see yourself, do you, as a nursing type person if you've never been in that field? I mean, can you just, I'll use the word, pick that career or say, I think I'll give this one a try?
Yeah, you can. We've had some people that have looked at the technology that we use. Because with respiratory therapists, we are working with life support equipment. So we do some very advanced technology with this equipment. So we've had some that have come in because of the equipment that we would be using. Those we have to work a little bit more on their people skills sometimes. But right. A lot of people never thought they would want to be a nurse, because there are things in nursing that people would not enjoy. And to be honest, there's things in nursing that I do not enjoy. one reason that I'm glad I stayed in respiratory. But you can help people in all different areas. So there's a wide variety of areas, from the neonatal intensive care unit with babies to home care to critical care. Education is an up and growing field. So if you're not maybe into all kinds of body fluids, there's still different options out there. So you may not have ever thought of yourself as a nursey kind of person, but that's okay, because, we can teach you those skills. And as long as you care about people, that's all it really takes.
Yeah, that's an important point right there. Hey, I am here with Ann Allen. She is the Director of Clinical Education. We're going to be right back, so don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, and I am here with Ann Allen. She is the respiratory program director out there at Piedmont Tech, and I tell you what, she has a lot going on out there. How many students do you take to start a program?
We take 22 students each class, and that starts in the spring or in January of each year.
So this would be a good time, I guess, if you wanted to see, is the program full, or do you have opportunities for people to get into the program?
Actually, our program is not full for this spring. I still have a couple of spots.
Okay.
So if students have these anatomy and physiologies and the microbiology and all the other general educations, I've got a spot for them.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about that a lot of people don't actually think about respiratory as a specialty, and I think that's very interesting as a specialty. And you would have a very responsible job out there working in a hospital environment, or I guess at a nursing home, or any of the types of places that you would be working.
That's true. we do a lot of work independently. So you may work with a team in hospitals. You're going to have, you know, a team that's going to back you up, but chances are you're going to be the only respiratory therapist in that critical care unit, whether it be an intensive care unit, a neonatal intensive care unit. You're going to be the only therapist there. Again, you've got people you can call for backup, but you're the one that's be responsible for those patients and the ventilators, which are the life support machines that we take care of.
Sure. And of course, you know, we deal with so much asthma, and do you think people are having more problems breathing today, more issues that need to be taken care of, or not?
I don't know if we have more. I think we recognize it easier now. So I think we do see more of those problems, but we've also have so many advances in drug therapy too, that for a lot of people, it's a lot easier to treat. The problem that we have seen, if you look at some of the information about the increase in asthma and the increase in mortality rate, that was climbing for several years. But I think people take a lot of treatments at home and we have a lot more medication. So I think sometimes what happens when people die from their asthma is they're treating themselves at home longer before they're seeking help in a hospital environment. So for a lot of patients, by the time they quit trying to fix themselves at home and come to the hospital, they are very, very sick with their asthma, and sometimes it's too late for us to be able to help them.
Oh. Well, you know, they have all these breathing machines. They have all of these type of things, and that certainly is making a difference today, too. I mean, and home breathing machines,
that's
and I'm
true.
Telling you, you know.
A lot of our patients, you have a lot of children and adults that take breathing treatments at home, and thank goodness for that, because they'd be running in and out of the hospital all the time if they didn't have that. And I think we've had such a success rate with our premature babies that are born that have survived into adolescence and even to adulthood now, that they are going home earlier, and they still are not fully developed. Their lungs still have to grow. And so a lot of times that can take to about 8 or 9 years of age before their lungs have completely grown. So they just need some help at home. But 30 years ago, these babies weren't even surviving to get out of the hospital.
Wow. So we have made a lot of advances. You know, we know we've talked and we've made advances.
Yeah. But advances with premature babies and their lung development.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a respiratory therapist, what type of income, since, you know, if we're going to put our heart and soul into becoming one of these, how much money, particularly, shall we say, in our area, would you be looking at?
In our area, I think the average income in here from some of the websites is around $50,000 a year.
That's so, not bad for this area.
It's not. And it's going to vary depending on where you work. And the more metropolitan areas, they will make a little bit more. Your cost of living is a little bit more there.
Sure.
But some of the feedback I've gotten from graduates is that they're starting anywhere from about $24 to $30 an hour. And then you can add in shift differential. So if you work an evening shift, you get paid more. If you work weekends, you get paid a little bit more. And to be honest with you, you're probably not going to start off working a Monday through Friday 9-to-5 job. We do have some therapists that work in doctor's offices and help out there, but most of them are staffed in hospitals, at least in the beginning. There are some opportunities in home health and some different areas in research, but generally you have to get some experience first.
Now, if somebody wants to get into this career, how can they find out whether it is going to be something for them? For example, do you have to wait to start getting clinical experience, or do you jump right in and say, go ahead, go for it?
We do get students in clinic in the first semester, and it's the second half of the first semester. So our semesters are 16 weeks, so they have class and lab in the first 8 weeks. So we will teach them basic patient assessment skills and oxygen therapy. So by the second 8 weeks, they're actually going to the clinic so they can kind of see if this is something that they'll enjoy or not. They can also come by and visit us at Piedmont Tech. We usually have new student orientation days that students, in fact, tomorrow is a new student orientation day, and they can tour the respiratory area. There's several different websites that you can find information, including the Piedmont Tech website. If you look under respiratory program, we have pictures and videos about what we do in respiratory.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, I am sitting here with Ann Allen. She is the director of the respiratory program out there at Piedmont Tech. We're going to hear South Carolina radio news, and then we'll be back. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster. I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafé cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafé mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
That's right. How you doing this afternoon? We're talking with Ann Allen. She is the director of the respiratory program out there at Piedmont Tech. And I tell you what, you know, you think about things that you would like to do. A lot of people like the healthcare industry because they feel it's stable and this type of thing. And most of the time, though, when we think about healthcare, we're either thinking about nurses, RNs, LPNs, maybe going on and being a doctor. But respiratory therapy, 5 semesters plus your other classes that you need, but 5 semesters, yeah, that's a whole lot quicker than becoming a nurse. Yeah,
just a little bit.
Yeah, because to become an RN, I mean, you're looking at a big time commitment.
Yeah, you can get your RN with an associate degree, or you can get your RN with your bachelor's degree.
Right. So. This sounds pretty great. Now, one of the things that I would think, though, as far as being physically fit, what kind of condition do you need to be in to be able to do this job?
You are going to be on your feet a lot. So we do have our physical stamina requirements, emotional physical stamina requirements, and there's a page of them that's actually on our website that you can look at. And we do have all of our incoming students have to go through a long list of immunizations, and they do have to have a physical from their physician, and they have to sign this paper and to make sure. It's not heavy lifting, but there is some lifting and bending and pulling, but the biggest toll it's going to take is going to be on your feet. So you just need to invest in some good shoes.
Right.
Because you will be on your feet. Most hospitals now, you work 12-hour shifts. So it is sometimes it's not that busy, but sometimes it is. So you do have to, I think the emotional stamina is more important than the physical.
Okay.
Because you will work with patients of all ages. We cannot save every patient. That's really, unfortunately, just beyond our realm. But I like to think that our patients that we cannot save, that we can be with them, we can comfort them, and then we can give them some rest and peace at the end. So a lot of times it takes more of a toll emotionally than it does physically. But then that usually balances out with the patients that you work with that turn around and you help their breathing.
Sure.
Or, you know, they're so glad to see you when you walk in the room. Or they stop you in the store or on the street and say, remember me and look how much better I am. And so it balances out. And the good is so much more than just the bad moments are.
Absolutely. But it can be very emotionally draining. And, you know, mm-hmm. working in critical care units, particularly, I think, intensive care, some of those are particularly hard.
It really is. And for a lot of times, our patients are on life support. So they are on the ventilators. And it is hard on the patient. It's also hard on the family. So that's something that we can do, is to be there with the family and give them support and let them know that we're giving their family member the best patient care that we can. We can't always save everybody, but we're going to give our best effort to do that. And the family is part of the situation. It's not just the patient. You're also working and sometimes, you know, supporting that family member also.
Yeah. Years and years and years ago, I thought my first husband was in a very bad car wreck, and he was in intensive care, and he did die. And afterwards, I was like, now what am I going to do? You know, so mm-hmm. I thought, well, maybe I'll go back to school. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, you know, I really enjoyed the nursing part while I was part of this, because he was in the mm-hmm. intensive care for 8 weeks. So I went enrolled in the nursing department, and unfortunately, I knew that not everybody lived. Because
yes,
my husband had died. And I was in a class where they all thought they were going to save the world, you know. So I changed careers because I just couldn't see myself staying with this. But I think that is a valuable lesson, is to know that you cannot save everybody, no matter how hard. And when you're young, you believe that you can.
That you can.
Yeah.
And And unfortunately, it always is harder when it is a young person or someone that, you know, has not lived 100 years.
Right. It's not their, it shouldn't always, be their time, right?
Yeah. But again, that's something that you just kind of, everybody individual has to come to learn and accept in different ways. So although I may not be able to save that life, I can comfort them. And I, again, hopefully, you know, make them as comfortable as we can. A lot of times it's not so much the pain, it's being short of breath and not being able to catch the breath. That is something that I can work with and I can help. And if it's nothing else, I can sit there and hold a hand.
That's true. So. That's true. And there is a lot of comfort. And like you said, for the family members, that is a mm-hmm. big part too, that they know that you're there and that you care.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that it does make a big difference. And again, the upside is we've in the neonatal intensive care unit, we work with a lot of premature babies. Again, more and more these last 10 years, we've had such a huge success rate. But it's always fun to go back and these children and these adults, now I've been doing this so long, are coming back and they were the premature babies. So how many premature babies that I've worked with are in college now?
Absolutely.
So it's just so, you know, heartening to see these success stories that we do have.
Sure. Now, you also have, I understand, you worked with Camp Power Puffers.
That's right, Camp Power Puffers.
What is Camp Power Puffers? Sounds interesting.
It does, but it's a camp for children with asthma. And when it was created 16 years ago, the Power Rangers were big.
Okay.
So they were originally out. So my children were young, but we were trying to come up with a theme. So we ended up with these Power Puffers. So it kind of came out of the Power Rangers. And our little theme mascot has been a dragon for years. But this is a camp that's free to children age 5 to 12. And what we really try to do is to teach them how to control and manage their asthma so they can live their life the way they want to instead of the asthma controlling their everyday life.
So what do they learn?
They have education sessions. They do arts and crafts. We do games. But in the education sessions, we really teach them the difference between their asthma medication because there are two categories. You have controllers that you take every day so you don't get sick. Mm-hmm. And then you have the rescue inhalers that when you're feeling short of breath, that's what you take. And a lot of these children may have 3 and 4 different medicines that they take every day for their asthma.
Wow.
So they need to know just because they're feeling better, there are certain medicines they still have to take every day. And there's different classes. Some of them now, thank goodness, are pills or they're chewable pills, so it's easy to do. But, you know, they have to understand what the purpose of each of those medicines are. Then we teach them about the triggers, what's going to trigger an asthma attack. So you're able to recognize it and then try to avoid it. What to do when you're starting to feel a little short of breath. And we teach them peak flows. So it's a little handheld device that they blow out in really hard and fast, and it measures how much flow they blow out. So we will actually figure for them what's normal for them, and then we have a zone, a yellow, green, and a red zone. So when they're in the green zone, everything's great. They can do what they want to do and just take their daily medicines. If they're not breathing well, they'll be in the yellow zone, and then they need to take their rescue inhalers, call the doctor, and then if they're in the red zone, they need to get help immediately. So we try to teach them how to recognize their asthma, their symptoms, so they can take control of it and not have to end up in the hospital. And it's amazing how many kids come to the camp and they look around and they're like, I thought I was the only one with asthma. And it's a lot of kids out there.
Yeah,
so sometimes
that.
They're a little embarrassed to whip out their inhalers or to use it in front of their friends.
Right.
But once people know, you know, go ahead and use it. And for a lot of children, it's exercise-induced problems. So they need to take their inhaler before they go out to play at recess or before they go to football practice. So we get them to try to learn how to do it correctly. And then they can do whatever they want to do. And children are great learners. They are really easy to teach. They want to learn. They want to play. By the end of the 3 days that we have them, they know their stuff a heck of a lot better than their parents know it. So they can name it all. Their parents are like, well, they take that little breathing thing.
Yeah.
And the child's like, I take 2 puffs of albuterol. Yeah. And they know exactly what they're taking.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Now, when do you have the camps and how does somebody find out about them?
The camps are usually the 3rd or 4th week in June. We will start advertising in January. We send flyers out to
okay.
flyers
yes.
out to all the public schools and to the private school. So we send out about 6,000 flyers to get responses back. And they can contact me at Piedmont Technical College. They can contact the respiratory department at the hospital, and then they can get me that information. But there is just a little bit of paperwork to do. But so far, we've either gotten grant money or the respiratory students have raised the money and gotten donations. So the camp is actually free to the kids.
Now, where do you have the camp?
We've had it the last few years at Tranquil Methodist Church.
Oh, okay.
Here in Greenwood, it's down Highway 10. The church has been great to let us use their fellowship hall, their Sunday school rooms, and it has a huge playground in the back. So it works out really good.
Well, that's great. That's great. So if you have a child that is in that 5 to 12, this might be something to check out that has asthma that may not even have brought the papers home or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can always contact me.
Okay. And what would be the number to contact you out there at Piedmont Tech?
It's area code 864-941-8533.
8533. So this is Ann Allen. She is the Director of Respiratory Program out there at Piedmont Tech. We come back, we're going to be talking about how you can afford to go back to school. So don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Hi there, Jim Bohannon here on 1450 AM WCRS, the voice of Greenwood. You can hear me every evening, weeknights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. with the Jim Bohannon Show of interviews and calls. And then you can go to bed with me and wake up with me as well with America in the Morning the following morning, 6 till 7 a.m. Of course, don't forget Ann Eller's many contributions to WCRS, 8 to 10 a.m. with the I Love Ann Show, 4 to 6 p.m. with Meet Me at the Diner and the Happy Hour with Ann. All on the Voice of Greenwood.
Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. We are coming to the top of the hour here. We got a few minutes to talk about. You know, and one of the things that people are in today's world, particularly, everybody is concerned, how much does things cost? I'm talking about going back to school. It's great. Looks like your salary range, $38,000 to $60,000. I mean, it's a good range, but you got to get there first. And going to Piedmont Tech is a very affordable place to go to school. That's number one.
Yes.
But what if somebody has money issues and wants to go back to school? And here's the other thing. In this career, I would think you would need to not work full time trying to get this degree right here, because I'm sure it's very intense.
That's true. We do encourage our students, if all possible, to work part time and to work just on the weekends. Students that have tried to pull 40 hours and go to school, it's a rare student that can be successful, because it is long days when you have a lab. Our clinicals will start at 6:45 in the morning.
Wow.
So, you know, usually done by 2 or 3, but still, that's pretty early for most people.
Sure.
So it is kind of hard. So, you know, trying to save up some money beforehand, if you can do that. Your tuition is based on the county that you live in, so that's going to vary. But there are tons of scholarships that are out there through Piedmont Tech. And within our respiratory program, we actually have some scholarships through Self-Regional Healthcare and through the State Society for Respiratory Care. So our students are able to get scholarships from different areas. So it's always
out
there.
And it's not that difficult to get a scholarship. You got to apply. You were telling me off the air, you'd be surprised how many go unclaimed.
That's right. There's money left on the table, as they say, after the end of every scholarship end. Time ends because people just didn't apply for them. So you can apply for the scholarships. Some of them say you have to live in a certain county or be in this major, but there are a lot of them out there that don't have any kind of the restrictions on them. So if you're a student now at Piedmont Tech, please apply for the scholarships.
Sure. So that will make a difference right there. And also, you know, you've got the lottery. I mean, I think one of the things that I've learned about the lottery, we always think about scholarships and lottery and this type of thing for young people, but lottery is for older adults too.
That's true. It's not an age restriction. And a lot of times, some of the returning students, the older students, can qualify for different scholarships or financial aid than the others can. So there's always, you know, help out there. And we do have a new program at Piedmont Tech for people over 50, the PLUS membership. They're trying to help those people that are coming back to college that are over 50. So you don't feel intimidated or like
right.
You're the mom or the dad in the classroom. So they're trying to work with those students that maybe look at college a little bit different.
Sure. Now, what about the computer issue? Because when you're talking about 50-plus, you may be having some computer issues that you feel you're not capable of being good enough on the computer, because everything is technology today.
It is. You are going to have to be able to be comfortable with computers. But again, we can teach you that as you go along, and the one of the computer classes that you have will get the basics down. If you may not have had a formal education in computer, but you use computers at work or even at home, surfing the internet or doing some Word documents or balancing your checkbook online, all of that actually comes into play. And we can, people that are not that comfortable, you know, we help you with that. So we have computer labs and we have tutoring, and we'll get you there where you got to go.
We'll get you there where you got to go. This is, we've been talking about respiratory care, respiratory therapists. It really is fascinating. And I think one of the things to me that is most intriguing is the fact that you are a specialist and that you are actually could be one of the people that the nurses call before they even call the doctors to get to stabilize somebody who's having breathing issues. I mean, that is, I never really thought about it that way is what I'm saying. You know, you think about, oh, the respiratory therapist. You don't think about it, but therapist is the key word there.
That's right. People just think, well, we give breathing treatments or we set them up on oxygen. They don't always realize that we do deal with the ventilators and the life support. But again, we're also in an emergency situation, whether it be in the emergency room, on the floor, in the intensive care unit, in the delivery room. Every high-risk delivery baby actually has a respiratory therapist there in attendance. So we are there to help in emergency situations also.
So that becomes very, very exciting. You are going to have an instant admissions day coming up where you can get admitted in one day. I mean, it's a phenomenal program. And if somebody wants to talk and find out about more about respiratory therapists, is Wednesday a good day to come?
That's a good day to come. They usually will have different areas and advisors and counselors that you can talk to. We always have different instructors in the health science program that can talk about any of the programs. So if there are some days that I'm in the hospital doing clinical, so if I'm not there, our dean or actually department head Lee Ballantyne can talk about respiratory. So we kind of all cover our different areas. So if a student is just wandering around, and we see them in the hallway and like, what do you want to talk about? Then the other instructors can actually give them information.
Wow. I know Lee Ballantyne. I've known Lee for years. That's right. His wife's Diamond came from here originally. Yes, and
oh,
he has upgraded.
Man.
Yes, he was. We've known Lee for years, and the twins that were born. Yes,
right?
I mean, we were part of their whole life story here, right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So, that is great. And Lee is one that has been in that department for a long, long time.
For a long time, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And he got his training at Piedmont Technical College, too.
Well, see, there you go. Piedmont Technical College, I mean, you know, they want you to succeed. And I think that's
that
a difference than some of your bigger schools. They have smaller departments, 22 students in a class starting in January. You're going to get that personal attention, I'm sure, whether you want it or not. But you're going to get personal attention, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's a good thing when you're looking at a healthcare. You're going to be on the front lines doing things that you want to make sure that your students know. And I understand you never have a problem finding a job for somebody that's graduated from your school.
No, our students have great job placements now. We can't guarantee everybody a job right here in Greenwood, but Greenville, Columbia, Charleston are always hiring. They're always adding and building, and it's not that people are leaving. They're just adding that many more therapists.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So look at respiratory care, respiratory therapist. May not have been something that you thought about,
right,
but it is sounds like a great career. And there certainly is the possibilities to make money. You know, one of the questions I have as we close out here, as a respiratory therapist, do you have to go back to school to be, do you get certified as a respiratory therapist, or how does that work?
There are national board exams that you take, an entry level and advanced level, and we train you for both of those. So when you graduate from the program, you're able to become a registered respiratory therapist. Depending on each state that you work in, they will tell you when you get your state license how many continuing education credits you need to have. So you do have to, and every healthcare is like that, you will have to continue to keep your skills up. But you will be able to go between adult care, pediatric, neonatal with the training that you get at Piedmont Technical College.
You know, and the other thing that I thought that you told us that was very fascinating, that the waitress, the hair cutters, the
bartenders,
they make great respiratory therapists. So if you are in this career or know somebody that is in that bent right now and they'd like to make a change, that they should look at this as a career.
Certainly. Have them give me a call.
That's right. So what's that telephone number?
It's 864-941-8533.
That's right. You can call Ann right there and talk to her. But, you know, and I'm sure there's actually other careers in the healthcare. Actually, probably nursing. All of these are very patient and personal relationship jobs, aren't they?
They are. And there's a lot of, if you don't think you want to work in a hospital setting, you want to look more at a doctor's office, there's a lot of different choices that we have at Piedmont Tech and Health Sciences. So anything that you know, when you really want a good job with job security, then you can come see us.
Absolutely. Well, you are listening to WCRS. My very special guest today has been Ann Allen. She is the Respiratory Program Director. She would love to talk to you. Give her a call at 941-8533. Instant admissions next Wednesday, November 18th. A great way to get into Piedmont Tech and get the career that you know that you deserve and the job that you want, right?
That's right.
That's right. And thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.